Have the extreme swings we're seeing on financial markets revealed some rusty plumbing underneath Wall Street? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading, key stock indexes were up about 2%, but after the abrupt collapse of share prices right at the end of yesterday's trading session, we'll see how long this rally lasts. This is a good time to consult Julian Emanuel, Executive Director, U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities. Morning to you, Julian.
Good morning, David.
So a lot of fears out there about this stock market. Just regular individual investors worried, or are the big folks, the big dogs, also worried?
The fear is pervasive, and actually, putting our derivatives hat on, we see it in the options market, where the value, the price of downside put protection relative to the price of bullish call options is as high as it's been, and that includes the panic lows in 2009. And that, to us, is real fear.
Now, if you didn't understand all that options jargon, this is people taking insurance against further falls. But what was I hearing before? That typically real bear markets, the sustained ones, are accompanied by a recession?
Absolutely. Over the last 25 years, every bear market has been accompanied by a recession. And when we take the strong economic data and we look forward, and yes, there are plenty of concerns on the international front, but we've seen these before, and we realize that to a very great extent, the U.S. economy is sort of a self-sustaining ecosystem. We just don't see the threat of a recession being meaningful throughout into 2016.
All right. Julian Emanuel at UBS Securities. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
In fact, core capital goods orders posted their largest increase in a year. The 10-year bond yield is up at 2.14% as well. There's concern on financial markets that there's something wrong with the way financial markets are handling or not handling all this volatility. The Wall Street Journal has a good piece about this today. A market is supposed to seamlessly link buyers and sellers, but in some cases in recent days, the works have been gumming up in ways that might require some reforms. Marketplace's Nova Safo has been looking into a problem centered on those baskets of stocks and other financial instruments known as exchange traded funds, or ETFs. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning, David.
So I'm allergic to acronyms. ETF?
Of course, exchange traded funds. They're very much like mutual funds. They're pools of various investments, including stocks. The key difference is that ETFs are bought and sold throughout the market day. Their prices go up and down, unlike mutual funds, which have their prices set at the end of a trading day. Now, ETFs have some $2.1 trillion in assets. They've become more and more popular since they were created after the so-called Black Monday sell-off of 1987. That's when people holding mutual funds had trouble getting out quickly.
And what is apparently this emerging problem with ETFs then?
The problem is that on Monday, a lot of the ETFs lost much more value than the value of the stocks they held. For example, one fund lost 32% of its value in the opening minutes of trading on Monday, while the value of the stocks in the fund went down only 9%.
That doesn't make any sense. Why did that happen?
That's the big question. Some on Wall Street are pointing to what's known as circuit breakers, which are designed to pause trading if there are big swings in value. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that circuit breakers were triggered 1,300 times on Monday. And some traders say that may have made things worse because it was hard to figure out what ETFs should be worth at any given moment. And that led their share prices to decline.
Well, who gets hurt in all of this?
A lot of individual investors, a lot of mom-and-pop investors. ETFs are billed as a tool of convenience, as a safer way to invest in the market than just buying individual stocks. A lot of those investors were panicking on Monday. They tried to sell at least some of their ETF shares. We spoke earlier this morning with Brenda Kelly. She's head analyst at the London Capital Group. She talked about this.
The fundamental flaw with ETFs is that there's a panic there, and the more volatile it gets, the harder it is to exit, as everyone owns the same thing.
Yeah, and some financial advisors and traders are now saying it's up for debate whether we have a systemic issue here and whether we need some kind of rewriting of trading rules.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
Corinthian College, one of the largest for-profit higher education companies, is in bankruptcy court today. Its bankruptcy plan, if approved, would pay both students and general creditors out of what remains of Corinthian's assets. But some agencies and states object to the plan, saying it clears Corinthian of liability from their lawsuits. Marketplace's Gigi Duban reports.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau sued Corinthian a year ago, saying it charged exorbitant tuition for some programs and saddled students with unusually high interest rates on loans. $3.5 billion in federal student loans are at stake in the liquidation. Gilbert Henschke studies for-profit universities at the University of Southern California.
We've got students, we've got governments, employees, we have the public.
Who loses? Henschke says everyone.
Corinthians are great canary in the coal mine, but I think the question is, what's it telling us?
He says if the settlement forces lenders to tighten up, it could make it harder for students anywhere to get loans. Mike Riley heads the American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers.
A considerable portion of debt that those students incurred is not with the federal government, but with private lenders.
Riley says Corinthian's bankruptcy proposal could leave students and the government still stuck. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And I'm assured the great physicist Stephen Jay Hawking was not commenting on the stock market over the last week when he explained his current views on what happens if we were to be sucked into a black hole. Dr. Hawking's idea is that all trace of you would not be lost, that echoes of you might still reverberate in the universe. Coming to you from Montclair State University today, as our bureau at the supposed center of the financial world gets an overhaul, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.